I'm grateful for the opportunity to be here today, and I'm going to be trying to do something. You know, when I've had to come here and teach before, I always try to fit what we do here. But now that this doesn't look like it's just going to, I mean, I may have to do this more often, y'all are just going to have to fit to me. And I'm going to try to work the way it works in here, but I've got such habits that are very hard to break after building them for 19 years. So I hope you'll endure a little bit with me, because it's a little bit more relaxed whenever I do what I do in there. And I pick on people sometimes, right, Molly? So I may pick on you. I don't know. We'll see. Sometimes we don't know what's going to happen, and we'll find out as we go along. I know that sounds like, did he prepare at all? Yes, I did. I prepared a great deal, but sometimes we see something and we have to take advantage of that. So what we want to do today is, I have the opportunity to spend some time in this position or in this place, is to look at some of the foundational things that we have at this church. We have some significant things, I think, that have been built over the years here. And as the board and the congregation and the staff have decided with the retirement of the Whites, we want to try to continue working in these same principles. And so as we do that, we want to go back and not necessarily rehash everything, but we do need to remember what we've learned. And then we also need to take those things and continue to build on them, because it's a constant building process. And so so I want to look at those things when I have the opportunity to come here and do that. And we want to talk about this growing in grace. We want to talk about our local body and what we have to build on, and what we can build as we work through these principles. So that's kind of the general idea, that whenever it's my opportunity to stand up here or sit or whatever it is we may do on that given day, that we're going to be looking at those things at least for a while. And we'll do that this week and next week, and we're only going to begin. It's only a beginning of looking at those kinds of things. We're going to focus on one of those areas, and only one small part of those areas today. What I wanted to talk about today is the body. Now, I was talking with Rafit last night. We were at the... I'm already picking on somebody. See, it already has begun. We were talking last night, and he's scared of what I'm going to say now, because we've never had that long of a conversation before, and it covered all kinds of things. But somehow, and I don't even remember how it came up, but somehow in that conversation I made the statement, no one could ever accuse us at this church of being glitzy or showy or anything like that. And I think by the look of the warehouse and that kind of things, I think we're all, you know, aware of that. And we were even joking on the board at one point in time that we're just a whole bunch of introverts on the board. And so that while that may sound somewhat bad, I don't think it's a bad thing at all. Because the desire that we have here for the truth of the Word of God and the foundational things are strong. And they've been built here, and they're in the lives of everyone here. And we've seen lives transformed, and that's an exciting thing. And so Paul even talks about this with his own self. I mean, he's talking about it in maybe different contexts, but he says, even though I'm untrained in speech, yet I'm not in knowledge. And we know that Paul was a knowledgeable person, obviously, if you read what he teaches. But he talks about this. And in 1 Corinthians, he says it again when he's talking about to this church who has a bunch of problems. And he's dealing with those problems, divisions. And primarily the divisions that they were having were over leaders, associating and identifying themselves with different leaders. And he starts off by saying this. He said, I, brethren, didn't come to you with excellence of speech or wisdom, declaring to you the testimony of God. For I determined, he set out his purpose, not to know anything among you except Jesus Christ and Him crucified. And that phrase right there seems simple, but it means so much more. It's so much more, and he's going to come back to that at the very end of this passage, so hang on to that. He says, I was with you in weakness, in fear, in much trembling, and my speech and my preaching were not with persuasive words of human wisdom. And again, I think that could probably be said here. We don't necessarily have the most smooth, eloquent things that happen here. I'm not criticizing anyone there, because I'm the first one to stand in line. Okay, that's me. But But I think we have a lot of things. And here's what he's trying to point out is this next part. But in demonstration of the Spirit and of power, that your faith should not be in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. And that's what our desire is that we don't get tossed back and forth with the fads of Christianity today. It's happened a lot. This is another part of the conversation that we had last night. There's all kinds of things that we can get distracted by in Christianity, and things that we can get distracted by in the world and in our lives. Paul says here that one thing that I determined to come to you is to talk about Christ and Him crucified. And then he says this power. What we need to look at and we need to zero in and focus on is this transforming power that God gives us in each of our lives, and then that we can have as we work together as a body. And I think that's one of the significant things that's different about this church. Now, God's given us three main things. He's given us a bunch of things, and we can break these down even more. But He's given us three main things here: His Word, His Spirit, and His body. And it's that idea of the body that I want to talk about first. That is a significant thing that we've tried to establish here at Manchac Bible Fellowship in the way that we work with each other, in the board, in our organization of how we do it. And we need to continue that, and we want to build on that and develop that even more. Because there's been a lot of things that we've been given over the past 19 years and even beyond that, because there's a number of us that were, and I wasn't here before that, but that were here before that were built by the people that taught in this place, Bruce McDonald, and then Clyde White. And they've established a lot of things in our lives. And there's a lot that we have to build now and to establish in other people's lives. And that's what we want to try to do. So we're going to talk about this idea of the body and begin to work through it. And one of the things that I do when we're working in the high school group is we take a lot of those principles and try to apply them in our study, in our practice. And so one of the things that we'll be doing today is rightly dividing. So what I'm going to do first, and that picture of rightly dividing, you remember from the walkthrough, one of the pictures that's given is the picture puzzle, right? Everybody remembers that. So what you can think of today is we're dumping the puzzle out. We're opening the box, and we're dumping the puzzle out. And what we're going to do today is start to just put those pieces, try to get them, get the sky up here and the tree over here and the whatever over here. It's not one of those puzzles that is all the same thing, like blue. Okay? This is one that has multiple colors, because I won't do those. I don't do puzzles anyway. But that's just not something I do. But we're gonna do that, and then we'll leave it there. Now, I don't know if this happened with you, but my father loves puzzles. He's not here today. It would be nice to pick on him. So I'll just pick on him even though he's not here, and we'll record it and give it to him. But he loves to do puzzles. And there's a fancy dining room table. That's what we had. And then there's the table that we ate at every day. And they're in like different rooms. Well, the fancy dining room table, most of the year, except for the holidays, starting around Thanksgiving, most of the year it had a puzzle on it. Okay? Because he got the puzzles for the last Christmas, because that was an easy gift to give to him. And then he would start working on those. And they would stay out for a while. And that's what we're going to be doing. We're going to get this puzzle out. We're going to start to work on it. And then we're going to come back to it from time to time and put these little pieces together and do that. So that's what we're going to do here with this body. So the first thing we want to look at is just to get a few passages out there. I want to look at two general concepts just to try to get our mind thinking about this. So I'm going to throw some passages quickly here. 1 Corinthians 3 talks about, gives us one of these pictures. Who then is Paul and who is Apollos? The problem we were just talking about, this division of leaders. And Apollos was one of those eloquent speakers. He was the eloquent speaker guy. As we can see, Paul says he wasn't. But ministers through whom you believed, as the Lord gave to each one. I planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. There's that power that we saw in the previous verse. So neither he who plants is anything, nor he who waters is anything, but it's God who gives the increase. Now he who plants and he who waters are one. And each one will receive his own reward according to his own labor. We won't talk about that right now. But here's the first picture. We are God's fellow workers. We are God's field. So that's one picture that he gives us, is his field. Another picture is a building. He goes on to say right after that, you are God's building. Do you not know that you are the temple of God? Now, in 1 Corinthians, Paul was, a lot of what he did was reproof, correction for those in Corinth, because he had he was dealing with a lot of problems, and they were dealing with division and strife that was going on in their church, because they were seeking after these peripheral things, and they were thinking that these things were more valuable than the power of God transforming our lives in holiness. And so he's trying to get them back to that. And here's one thing. Do you not know that you are the temple of God? And is David Schultz in here? We're going to get to pick on him. He's out there. Okay, we studied 1 Corinthians this last year. And one of the things that Paul does that I thought was interesting as we did that I hadn't seen before this year was he says this quite frequently, and it's kind of I kind of took it as a derogatory thing. Do you not know? And that's why we need to go back over these things, because he knew that they knew, or they had been told that. And he says it over and over and over again. And one of the challenges that I gave them was to go, as they read through 1 Corinthians, count how many times he says, do you not know? Do you not know? Do you not know? And he says it a number of times. So, do you remember? It's very close. No, it was so close. That was the problem. When we looked it up, it was 11, but one of those was in 2 Corinthians. So it was 10. It's 10 times in 1 Corinthians and one time in 2 Corinthians. So by the time you wrote 2 Corinthians, they were remembering some things that they had been taught. And I think he said, you know, they say my letters are weighty and heavy, but, you know, and so I guess they got the first part of that letter and they started working on it, you know. So so 10 times he says this, and he says, do you not know? Do you not know? Do you not know? And so it's important. That's kind of what we're doing. I'm not trying to say that in a derogatory way, but we're beginning to build in a new way together here. And so we need to remember the things that we've been taught so that we can establish those things strong in who we are and what we can become and what we can do in people's lives. And I think it's going to be an exciting thing that as we work through these things, what we'll see happen. So this is one. He goes on to talk about this idea of the stones or living stones in 1 Peter. Peter talks about it. He says, come to him, Christ, as a living stone who is rejected indeed by men, but chosen by God and precious. You also, as living stones, are being built up a spiritual house, a holy priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. So here we have this picture again of living stones, and then the picture that we talk about the most. And there's even more pictures, but we'll stop with this one here. But this is the body of Christ. And it's talked about in three main portions of Scripture, but then all the aspects of it are talked about throughout the New Testament. But I just picked one. We got Romans 12, Ephesians 4, and 1 Corinthians 12 that all talk about this idea of the body. And Romans 12 says, for I say, everyone who is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, as we have many members in one body, but the members do not have the same function. So we, being many, are one body in Christ, and individually members of one another. And that's the picture that God gives the most time to describe me, is using this idea of the body. And so that's one that we refer to the most whenever we talk about this idea. And it doesn't mean that these others aren't good, it's just the one that's talked about the most. So that's kind of what we attach to. So when we start to look at this idea of body, the first thing, when we start to collect these pictures together and look at them, we see these kinds of words come up. We see this word unity, and that's something, you know, we've heard that before, so that's no big surprise. We've heard that over and over again, and that's because it's important, and we'll see that in one of the passages that we look at. Paul tells us it's desperately important for us to keep that in the forefront of our mind, on the front burner, and being watching that thing. And so unity, oneness, body in that idea too. And we'll see this word same come up. Same this, same that, or one this, or one that. And so I want to look at just a few of those passages here to get that idea thrown in our mind. Now this one that I have up here is one that really we'll come back to much later and really deserves a lot more, is John 17, where Christ is fixing to be crucified, and he's been with his disciples, he's given them some last instructions, and here, this John 17 is his prayer after he's given those instructions. And one of the things he says in there is he's praying to, to God. He's talking about his disciples, and then also that would apply to us too. He says that they may be one just as we are one. And that's an important thing. I mean, this is his last prayer here with those men, or about those men that he was going to work with. And it translates to what we need to do. His desire for them was to be one, just as the Father and the Son are one. And that's what he wants us to have. He wants us to understand this oneness. And he gives us all kinds of pictures, some of which we looked at. One which I didn't bring up that I probably should have, but it kind of gets us off track, and that's what I'm doing right now by bringing it up anyway, is marriage. And that's another one. Because we see in Ephesians 6 where he uses that picture of marriage between the husband and the wife to describe the picture of Christ in the church. And so that's an important thing too. And as we look at that, we can see this idea of oneness that we need to have. And that goes all the way back to Genesis when it talks about that idea of marriage, that they may be joined together. And we'll see that as we come up. So as we look at these phrases, keep this in mind. We'll just throw out a few of these passages here. Ephesians 4, this is one of those main passages about the body before it gets into it. He says, "I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you to walk worthy of the calling with which you were called." That word beseech is going to come up again. And that's to plead or to beg with. And really the picture there is to come alongside. We've heard that when we talked about the Holy Spirit. The Greek word is the same Greek word here that's used to describe that comforter of the Holy Spirit who comes alongside and encourages and pleads and admonishes. It's a broad word, and we have to look at the context to see, because it can be a very gentle thing, or it can even have the context of, we really need to get to work on this, you know. And so there's a gamut of how this is. And he says, "I beseech you, I want you to pay attention to this, and I want you to work on this hard." And he uses another word here in a minute. And we need to look at this calling. That's going to go to our purpose. We're not going to do that in the next 2 weeks. That's the next 2 weeks down the road sometime. Verse 2, "With all lowliness and gentleness, with long suffering, bearing with one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace." And here we have one body, one Spirit, one hope, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God, and one Father of all. So we see that those things that identify us together and bring us together in that communion. But that word endeavoring in verse 3, and that's where he says, endeavor to keep the unity of the Spirit. That's the exact same word that we have in 2 Timothy 2:15 that's very familiar to us. Be diligent to present yourself, or study to present yourself and show yourself approved of God, a workman that does not need to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. It's the exact same word, to be diligent. And that has that picture of speed, of haste is the word that it chooses. It's not haste in a chaotic way, you know, to be hasty and rush, but to make that a priority, to make that stick that up at the top, because we need to be about this all the time. We need to be working toward this endeavor to keep the unity of the Spirit. So that's one. I've got to get through this faster, or else we're not going to get through where we need to get today. All right. Philippians 1 is another passage that's very familiar with this, and I'm not going to spend a lot of time on the details. I just want to hit some of these things, because we've seen this passage a number of times. But here we see he says, "Stand fast in one spirit, with one mind strive together, be like-minded, have the same love, be of one accord, have one mind," and then all the attitudes that go along with that. We're going to come back to this passage in just a minute and look at some more details. And then in 1 Corinthians, he says, "I plead with you," again, there's that word, beseech, plead, exact same word, "by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that you all speak the same thing, and that there be no divisions among you, but that you be perfectly joined together in the same mind, in the same judgment." So as we begin to look at some of these passages, these are just a few general ones, it's important that we have, as we start this study, that we have this idea of oneness, this idea of unity, and this idea of where, what is it that we need to have the same thinking in. All right. So that's one thing I want to stick in your mind and keep attach some things to that. So that's one of those big picture items. Now, what I've done and what we're going to do now is I want to do the group work thing. Okay. If y'all remember, I don't know, it was probably like a couple of years ago was the last time that I taught in here, and I tried to give you an example then, and I didn't know it was going to be this long, but here we are. All right? And one of the things that we do when we start a study like this, a very general study in high school, is that we put the passages out. We mix them around and we really start to look at them. And we look at them, and one of the principles is that's rightly dividing, and then another one is line upon line. Okay? And so we're going to look at it in one level and come and look at these passages. And then we'll dig a little bit deeper as we go through these and see some of the truths that come in there. And so that's the process we're going to do for the next 2 weeks with this idea of oneness or unity. So what we're going to do now is I'm going to give you some instruction. I'm going to give you an example. And then based on our shepherd groups, we're going to let you work in that shepherd group on a few verses with these instructions that I'm going to give you. So right now I'm going to tell you what you're going to do. These are the categories that I want you to do. What I'm going to do is you're going to get in the group and you're going to have a couple of verses, three or four verses that I want you to look at. Within those verses, I want you to look for phrases or words that might indicate these things, these different categories that I'm fixing to show you. Okay? Now, this is always difficult to do, and I have to explain this over and over to the high schoolers, because it's easy for me when I'm at home, because I can sit there and I'm all by myself and I don't have to endure other people distracting me except for my wife, which is always a good distraction. But one of the things that's difficult is in this rightly dividing is that it's easy to get distracted by some of the details of the verse. And especially when we first come at these in this kind of a activity that we're going to do, is to try to stay focused on the parts that we want to focus on. Okay? And then as we understand those more, we'll dig into it more and get to the details as you go through the process. Now, we are limited because I'm taking more time talking than I should, but we also are limited in just we have a few weeks. And so you're probably not going to see this thing fully, because as they can testify, what we're going to do in 2 weeks would actually probably take us 2 months. 2 months, okay? Because we work slowly through these passages and we spend some time looking at them, and we just don't have that kind of time to do that. So I'm giving you some supplies so that you can do some of this at home. And I'm gonna speed some of the process up this week and next week. So we're only going to get a taste of it, but it's something that I think is very beneficial to us to do together. So anyway, the three things that I want you to look for is words or phrases that fit into these categories. Things that define or describe unity, the body, or purpose. Now, as we look at these passages, there's going to be another thing that you're going to see is there's going to be some that are going to have a positive aspect to them. Well, they'll be talking about unity or whatever. And then there's going to be some that are going to have a negative aspect, where they're going to be talking about the aspect of division. And that's one of the things. Whenever we come to the Word of God, we've got to understand that there's doctrine that's given out, but then there's also correction and reproof. And we've got to take both of those things and try to look at them. All right? And so sometimes to understand the positive aspect, we have to look at the negative. So there's going to be some of those negative things in there that we look at to try to understand this positive. So you're going to have to play mental gymnastics there with those, okay? But you're up to the challenge. All right, so define or describe unity, the body, and purpose. The second thing are things that are needed to achieve or maintain unity. And then the third is how we treat others as members in the body. How we treat each other as members of the body. I want to look at those three things. You're going to have these on your paper, so you don't need to worry about writing them down fully right now, and then I'll have them up too. All right, what I want to do real quickly is to give you an example of what I'm asking you to do. And we'll look at this first part in Philippians, and then I'll let you go. We got our three categories there at the bottom, and we've got this passage that we've already looked at, and some of these phrases that we see in here, we see we're to stand fast in one spirit with one mind striving together for the faith of the gospel. And this is one of the aspects of how it defines what the body is. It's a simple thing. We're not going to get some of these things we'll see more detail in, and it'll give us more understanding. Some of them are just simple facts that we need to collect and to build our understanding of the depth of this teaching. But we need to understand what that means. What does it mean to have one mind? We have a common desire and purpose to strive to see God's Word accomplished. It's a common desire striving together to see what he wants accomplished in his word, in our lives and in the lives of those people around us. And then we go on, the next phrase that I would pick out here is that in verse 28, he kind of shifts a little bit and he says, I want you to have this attitude or these things evident. And then he says in verse 28, and in not any way be terrified by your adversaries. Here's part of that negative thing that I was talking about, which is to them a proof of perdition, or that they're going to get burned. Let's put it that way. They're going to get burned later on. But to you of salvation, and that from God. For to you it has been granted on behalf of Christ, not only to believe in him, but to suffer for his sake. So that's an exciting thing. We've been granted the privilege of being able to suffer. But that's something that we need to understand. And it's weird how Paul does this stuff to us. I mean, how can you make that such an... You know, it's like James. Consider it joy whenever you face trials of various kinds, okay? And we see that throughout the Word of God because we need to understand that. If we're going to work together as a body, one of the things that we need to understand is that he tells us. It's not like God's not hiding this from us. We should expect to suffer difficulties because people are going to have disagreements with what we're... And you're going to see that in these passages. Jesus saw it as he tried to teach those things while he was here on earth. And so we need to expect that we're going to have to suffer for our beliefs, and we need to be prepared and not have fear because of the hope that we have. And that's this whole idea. We have to look beyond what's right in front of us. We have to look to this eternal aspect of our lives, but that's a whole other thing that we're not going to talk about. So we're going to have adversaries, and we need to recognize that that's something that we should expect and we should look for. And these adversaries, as we look through this, are going to be from the outside, and we're also going to see that they're going to be from the inside of the body. We're going to have struggles inside the body, and that just comes because we've all got sin natures, and we're still struggling with that idea of holiness. And so we're going to have struggles even inside of our body, and that's why he's talking with those in Corinth. You've got divisions and strife inside of you. You need to work these things out. And we can if we'll trust what God says and look to these things of oneness and unity. So we've got to go back and look at those things. I'm going to skip this next part of the passage because I've already spoken too long on this and let you get started. So what I'd like for you to do is I'd like for you to read the passage. Then I want you to look for information, these words or phrases from the passage, that would fit into one of those categories. As a group, discuss these things, discuss it, and decide what that phrase or piece of information that's there. I like to call it a piece of information because it's not just a single word. I mean, so it's a phrase or an idea that's given there. Where you think as a group it would best fit into a category. Now, let me just throw another thing in there. This is not a time to have fights and, you know, over which category you think it's in. All right? Sometimes when I've gone through this, I look at it and see it one way. And then as we've gone through it, and they can testify to this, that they work through it and they come up with a different perspective on it. And I go, sometimes I'll say, nah, you know, and we'll do that. And then sometimes I'll say, you know, I never thought about it that way. And that's how one of the ways that we can learn from each other. So there's not necessarily a right or wrong answer. And I have to constantly, because their life now is school, and if you get wrong answers, you get red X's on your paper and you get lower grades. And we don't have to do that anymore. We're adults. We don't have to take those classes. Don't put up with that anymore, okay? Don't fear the red X, okay? So some things could go one way or the other. You may have disagreed with what I just said. I could look at actually the ones that I gave you a minute ago. I could probably make a case for them going into another category there. But the process is here that's important. As we rightly divide it, we begin to see these patterns that God has. We begin to understand more of what he's talking about. All right, then just write the reference down, the fourth thing. Write the reference down from that passage and reword it if you can, kind of like what I just did there, where that fact is. And you're going to get some papers to do that. All right. These are the groups. If you don't remember what shepherd group you're in, I've got them listed for you right here. All right? So what I'd like for us to do, because we have limited time, because of the rambling of the teacher, that I'd like for us to stay right in this room. And if we could, just kind of organized, like this is 1, 2, 3, and then these groups are 1, 2. So Wanis, Christian, McDonald, Cox, Staley. Sorry, Brad's got to go all the way to the back. All right. So if you could just take 10 minutes to begin to look through these passages. The guys have the papers and they'll hand them out to you.